Hey guys, this is your host Nitin Binhani and a very warm welcome to my startup podcast channel Jazair Audio, where we share real stories with real learnings. My today's podcast is specifically targeting the founders of SaaS businesses that might be exploring for an exit either currently or in the future. Founded in 2009, Flippa.com is the number one marketplace for buying and selling online businesses globally. Flippa alone reports 600,000 annual buy-side searches for SaaS businesses. So my guest today is Blake Hutchison, the CEO of Flippa, to share with us his great insights for the founders looking for an exit. Hi, Blake. Welcome to Jazair Audio. Great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So Blake, can you share a bit about Flippa?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So Flippa is a marketplace to buy and sell online businesses. So we see sites, stores, and apps. A site would be like a WordPress blog. An app would be typically an iOS or Android mobile-based app. And a store would be typically a Shopify or Amazon store. Now, of course, you know, the evolution of the platform has been such that we see all sorts of business, digital business types list on the platform. And the community is so strong because that is the founding story. We were actually born out of a developer blog. It was a developer community called sitepoint.com. And so the founders noticed that people were exchanging source code, talking with each other about the sale of apps. And this is going back 20 years ago. So 14 years ago, Flippa was founded, and Flippa was benefited by this very fast growth established community. And ultimately, what we try to achieve is a democratization of the exit and business ownership through acquisition. What that means is that the platform is designed to match buyers and sellers from all over the world, and we operate in 193 countries.
What's the current trend of buying and selling SaaS businesses?
Yeah, very well, in the sense that it's our most searched for asset type. So each month on Flippa, we see 600,000 buy-side searches. And so these are like mandates. It's where a buyer enters the platform, either uses our search environment, which is, you know, akin or analogous to like a Google search environment, or they create a profile and ultimately request that we send them relevant businesses that come on and match their preferences. And SaaS is number one. So we see 45,000 searches for SaaS businesses each month among almost 1.9 million buyers around the world. So it's the fastest growing asset type for us within the platform. And of course, as a function of that, we see lots of SaaS businesses sell, and therefore we can give a lot of insights, both, you know, pricing, comps, as well as category-based insights to SaaS founders, giving them some sense of what the metrics are that buyers look for. And that ultimately is, you know, what powers our platform. It's the insatiable appetite from entrepreneurs from all over the world to see that data and make decisions on the basis of that data. So certainly, I mean, to answer the question, you know, SaaS is a really, really fast growth space for us, and people like the idea they can buy into something a little more mature than starting from scratch.
Now let's dive into the exit strategy. When and why should founders of SaaS startups consider an exit?
Yeah, so I think the question of why is really broad. And some founders ultimately started something with a view to exiting from day one. And other founders started something with a view to scaling and ultimately have found that for whatever reason, they can't achieve the scale that they need to. For whatever reason, the capital that they may have needed to continue to grow the business has been unavailable to them. Or for whatever reason, while the business is growing, it's slowed down. And therefore, they can imagine that they've optimized it to their best capability. And perhaps it's now in a better position for somebody else to take over. We find the question of why very interesting, because it's never sinister. It's always as a function of a simple reason. It could be, I want to exit to send my son or daughter to college. It could be that I want to invest in another business, which I am equally running, but now don't have the time to run both. It could be, I just need the money. Or it could also be, I'm also very tired of running this SaaS business or any other business for that matter. As to when, you know, what we would encourage people to think is, when is it most likely that I'm optimized for an exit? And so what that means is, when are your metrics at their best? And so clearly a SaaS business, which is high churn, isn't at its best. And so something which is low churn, or where churn is steadily decreasing, the percentage of churn is steadily decreasing, that would be considered a good time to be thinking about an exit. Similarly, on the flip side, if I'm super fast growth, we find that some buyers don't necessarily buy into the super fast growth asset class within Flipper. And the reason being is that this is not venture capital. This is not speculative investing. People aren't looking to acquire unicorns. What they're looking to do is buy something which is cash flow positive, obviously revenue generating, growing, and where the metrics are in a good position. And so what they'll look for is high lifetime value, very obvious stuff, low churn rates where possible, very obvious stuff. And then look, they're looking for boring, predictable, repeatable behaviors. And so the reason we say that is because there's a lot of up and coming SaaS in AI. But when you're thinking about the best asset to acquire, still we see most of our search behavior and volume for more traditional industries, travel, finance, health and wellness, human resources, those types of things, education. The more traditional industries are a good way to think about whether you are a acquisition ready startup or online business.
You mean Flipper evolved into a Thrasio enabler?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's very fair. I mean, ultimately what we do is provide liquidity. So we have 1.9 million buyers. Some percentage of those buyers are obviously looking for SaaS, and they come to the table with different wallet sizes. So we represent buyers who are institutional in nature. So they could be private equity. They could be a big company buyer. They could be a family office. But we also represent buyers who are individual in nature. Perhaps someone like you or I, we work day to day, but we're looking to supplement or replace our income. And so therefore, you know, we may not have the budget for an institutional type buyer, but we're still interested in a good quality online business. And so therefore, as a function of that, we represent business owners from the very small to the very large. From the very small would typically be $10,000 to the very large, up to $35 million.
Are there any specific current or future market trends that can influence the decision to exit a SaaS business?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the trend is, you know, one, that there are more buyers in this for this asset class than ever before. So that the trend being that people are buying into the idea that acquiring a business is better than starting one. And so therefore, if you have created something that is mature and that is well established, you know, that is a trend that is supporting not only Flipper, but this concept of micro M&A and the growth of that industry. So that's kind of the very macro level. At a more micro level, what I can tell you is that businesses that are older tend to derive a better profit multiple than businesses that are younger. So I can tell you that for all assets sold on Flipper, regardless of it being SaaS or not, the businesses that sell that are over 3 years old, they receive a better profit multiple, about a 35% better profit multiple on average than their similar like assets that are under 3 years old. So, you know, trend being that buyers are looking to buy something which is established and predictable and repeatable, and they're less looking for something which is speculative and kind of an unknown commodity at this point. In addition to that, the time to sell is actually decreasing as more buyers enter the marketplace. And so you tend to need to break this down by price points. But if you look for deals that are sort of $50,000 to $250,000 in acquisition price, the average time to sell is just 49 days. So it's very quick. Whereas a business which is $250,000 plus, obviously up and to, in some cases, tens of millions of dollars, the average is far in excess of that at nearly 3.5 months. So it's literally triple the time to sell something that is of a higher price. So that would be a good thing to sort of think about. The other thing that I think is a really amazing trend in this space is it is truly global. And the trend is right now that more deals than not are cross-border. So 67% of all deals are actually cross-border. In most cases, it's an American buyer buying any asset from anywhere else in the world. So you've got a really, really strong concentration of buyers in the US who are looking for these types of businesses. As it relates to more general trends like categories, I can give you some sense of where most of the SaaS search has been in the last 6 months. And so, as I alluded to before, it's around 45,000 monthly searches for SaaS businesses. And so then trend-wise, what we see is popular category that people are looking for at this stage is fitness. That's been the single most in-demand SaaS asset category type. Second to that, travel. Third to that, finance. And after that, there is a very long tail things like pets, things like music, education, health and wellness, and then even things like just beauty and tech make up the long tail. So it's a very long tail, but hopefully that gives you some sense of the trends in that space.
So from your own experience, what are the prevailing exit revenue or profit multiples applicable for the SaaS businesses?
Yeah, so I'll give you some sense of the median, the mean, and the highest achieved. Again, I'll take the price cohort of $250,000 plus. It does actually differ, but the higher the price point, the more likely it is indicative of the multiples that people can expect, because they tend to be more predictable, repeatable assets at that size. So the median is 3.3 times. So that's 3.3 times profit. And so clearly that is lower than public market multiples, although they've come down substantially of late. But then it's also important to consider the highest, because often people can be misled by an average. Obviously, you take consideration the bell curve, you've got the highest performing assets and the lowest performing assets. So the highest SaaS multiple achieved over the last 6 months was 7.5 times. So that gives you some sense of the premium that a buyer will pay, where the metrics as they would expect. And so what we're talking about there is typically a very high lifetime value, typically a business that has been around for in excess of 5 years, and typically a business which has very low churn rates and is currently growing. So that sounds very obvious, doesn't it? But we see a lot of SaaS assets where the churn rate is too high, the lifetime value isn't high enough, and those businesses are currently not growing at the levels that buyers would expect. So buyers will pay a premium where the metrics are more, I guess, analogous to world-class SaaS metrics.
What are the types of buyers that typically show interest in acquiring SaaS startups?
So again, and sorry to continue to state this, but it really does depend on the size of the asset we're talking about. Typically, a company buyer is going to look for a business which is priced and or will ultimately sell for in excess of $1 million. And so that's typical of a company or institutional buyer. And they will buy on the basis of a growth strategy and or a category-based interest. So the growth strategy simply says, this asset is similar to other assets we already own, and we believe we can get operational efficiency. And as a function of that, we will bolt on this asset and have a better performing group business that is now benefited by having this new product within its stable. Then there's people who will buy for category growth or sometimes category expansion. So let's say, for argument's sake, I already own SaaS businesses or SaaS tooling in the education sector. Perhaps there is another business which is also in that sector, but tackling a different feature set. Then I'm buying that to expand the utility of my existing portfolio of companies or existing SaaS business, but I get to own more of the education sector. Below that, we see what we call acquisition entrepreneurs. These are kind of high net worths, and they might typically be looking for something between maybe $100,000 and up to $1 million. And they are acquisition entrepreneurs. This is what they do. They are looking to acquire something and operate it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will be the operator. They might hire somebody to do that work. But typically what you're dealing with is an individual buyer. That individual buyer will typically have a particular skill set, and that individual buyer will be looking at your asset from the perspective of what does its cash flow look like, or what is its pathway to break even, and how can they utilize it to supplement their income or replace their income. And then we have the third class of buyer, which is a side hustler. Now, they will typically buy assets priced between $10,000 and $100,000. These are those people who want to supplement their income. And so we talked about multiples before, so it's a good way to think about it. So obviously, if a company buyer is looking to acquire something for $1 million, then that business will have been doing between $300,000 and $400,000 net. Now, we're talking about an adjusted net profit, or what we might call in this industry SDE. So that's where you strip out non-carry forward costs, or those costs which were isolated to a particular cost event in the prior year or prior 2 years that are likely to be non-carry forward for the buyer. So in short, we have side hustlers, we have acquisition entrepreneurs, and we have company and institutional buyers. They're truly global, but Americans certainly dominate the buy side pool.
So when it comes to preparing for an exit, what steps should startup founders take to maximize the value of their company?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, there's a few obvious statements here. I mean, one, optimizing for good quality unit economics and the metrics that matter to a SaaS business. So if you've got a churn problem and you're thinking of exiting in the next 6 to 12 months, you really need to show movement with that particular metric. So if you've got a 15% churn rate, you really want to show that you can start to bring that down toward the 10% mark and hopefully below. That enables you to tell the story of how you did that. It also enables the buyer to imagine that trajectory continuing. And that's a really important thing about buying these assets. Buyers don't want to buy turnarounds. They want to buy things which they understand and that they can continue to operate at the same level as the current founders. The second thing, you know, is really around operational fundamentals. So making sure that you've got standard operating procedures in place, making sure that you understand your sales cycle so that you can communicate that sales cycle to a prospective acquirer. And then the third one is really just about understanding what you personally are trying to achieve. So if you want $1 million exit, you really should understand the multiples that are at play today, because then you can start to orientate your business toward that type of revenue and profit outcome so that you know that that exit multiple and final exit price is more assured for you.
Great. How does a founder ensure a smooth transition for an exit?
Yeah, so there's either, you know, one of two things. The first one would be that you really want to get your finances in order, get the metrics that matter in a place where a buyer can successfully take it over. The second thing is really understanding that it is highly likely that there is in fact a transition period. So you talked about a smooth transition. A smooth transition doesn't occur when the founder or business owner insists on a fast exit from the company. And so buyers will tend to want at minimum, they'll tend to want a 45-day transition period. And sometimes they'll look for a 12-month transition period. And that's simply so that they can benefit from the wisdom and the years of understanding of how that business operates so that they can assure their revenue and assure their investment for the long term. It's a really important one for founders to understand that you're likely to have to stay in the business for a short period of time while the buyer takes over. The transition itself of the assets really comes down to, do you have an asset register in place? So you need to actually have a document, which is essentially an index of all of the things that are critical to the way your business operates and all of the working processes, and we might call those SOPs. So a smooth transition will tend to happen when we've seen, a really good quality set of SOPs. So standard operating procedures that govern the way the business works each day.
Finally, what are the key challenges that one should be aware of during this whole process of buying and selling businesses?
Yeah, so I mean, most of the time, you know, what we will see is that the acquirer doesn't have a good enough understanding of how to run the business post-acquisition. So the biggest challenge we see is when the owner and the founder, the person who has recently exited, are at odds with respect to the time and the energies it will take to transition the business successfully. So if there is not a clear alignment above and beyond getting a contract signed and the successful receipt of both the assets and of course the funds, that's when we see problems. And so that's, I mean, frankly, the biggest challenge we see is when the transition process is not agreed through the contract of sale.
So with this, we have reached at the end of this podcast. Blake, thank you so much for sharing your great insights. It was wonderful talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. If you need any help with selling your SaaS business, you can reach out to me directly at blake@flipper.com. And I would love to chat to you.
Lastly, I want to thank all the listeners who took their valuable time to listen to this podcast. Keep rocking, be safe, and don't forget to share.
Are you a founder of an early stage startup or the owner of a small or medium enterprise and looking to raise funding? Then please visit www.jasaro.in. That is www.jasaro.in.